Greetings, friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. I'm Pastor Jacob Kokura of the LaRange Alliance Church, and in this period of uncertainty, I'm glad you've taken some time to listen to me today. We're living in a time unlike any we've ever known, not in this generation. We can take hope, despite the struggle that we might be enduring right now, that we are not alone. Despite the struggle, despite the turmoil, despite all the sickness that is a part of our world right now, people around the world have experienced periods of uncertainty before, like the one that we've experiencing now. And we can learn from those stories. Have you ever dealt with uncertainty? What brought you through that time? Was it friendly advice that helped you become more certain? Was it the passing of time that brought information to light or allowed a situation to pass? Whatever it might be, over the years, I've learned that we deal with uncertainty in many different ways. Perhaps you were a young person once, and as many young people do, we deal with the uncertainty of what path we're going to take when we're finished school. Perhaps you've experienced some sort of crisis or trauma in your life, and you understand the uncertainty of what it is like to move forward, unsure of what is coming next. How we proceed in times of uncertainty matters. And I believe that Jesus has some very good advice for us to consider. And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus explains his perspective on how we are to comport ourselves, how we are to act in the period of greatest uncertainty that might ever be known. The uncertainty of the end of all days, the end of all things. And I read here from Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 3. As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." I was in high school during the great period of anxiety of my youth, during Y2K. And for those of you who might not remember, Y2K was ultimately about a design quirk in early computers. There was difficulty in understanding how time would proceed. And so as the end of 1999 approached, the end of the 1900s, and the anticipation of the 2000s was coming, the computer systems of that day were perhaps ill-prepared for what would happen next. And as our clocks rolled over on New Year's Eve into 2000, there was a great expectation that a great calamity would occur, that bank accounts would be drained, that power systems would fail, and then a new dark age would be upon us. And our world would be cast into economic collapse and all technology would fail. And there were people, I remember, who ignored what the experts had to say. All the experts agreed, no necessary steps for the average person would be a problem. The problem of Y2K was really in very old technology, and in new technology, everything was fine. And all those systems that needed to be updated were updated in plenty of time, allowing businesses to continue to operate and homes to continue to manage their finances. And in the end, Y2K blew over with barely a whimper. Although people huddled in their basements, worried about what was going to come, the reality was is that that New Year's was like so many others, and we had nothing to worry about. We all were sure that the end of the world was upon us, and in today, as we experience the COVID-19 pandemic, perhaps you're asking a question: Is this the end of the world? I think that remains to be seen, but the experts are saying to us that while it's a serious issue, we shouldn't live in fear. And this is the reminder that I think Scripture also gives us, that Jesus gives us. When Jesus is describing the actual end of the world, when he describes what's going to transpire, he describes war, when nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there would be great famine, earthquakes, and yes, even plagues. Jesus doesn't tell us to panic. Jesus doesn't tell us to cower in fear. Jesus gives us the path forward. Read again with me in verse 6 of chapter 24 in Matthew. Jesus says specifically, "See that you are not alarmed." When Jesus says, "Do not be alarmed," he also means don't overreact, don't grow panicked, don't be troubled, because these things will happen. So then how do we react? For some of us, the period of uncertainty that we are in leaves us feeling like we're out of place, like we don't know what to do with ourselves. This is the same way I feel when I'm on vacation. My routine is well established at this point in my life, and when I adjust that schedule, when I do something out of the ordinary, when I go somewhere or when I take time off, I feel completely out of sorts. I feel like I'm supposed to be somewhere, but I'm not there. Like I've forgotten something, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Do you know that feeling? I think Scripture holds for us words of advice as we anticipate feeling out of sorts. Read with me from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Paul writes to his young apprentice, Timothy, "I remember your tears, and I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and also in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death, and he brought life, immortality, to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And that's why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you." God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come what may, whether sickness, war, economic collapse, we should not fear. In our faith that Jesus has saved us, given us eternal life, we acknowledge that he has first abolished death, and he's brought life to us through the gospel. That is not to say that we will not die, but rather death is not something to be feared. And these uncertain times should not provide us with anxiety. We have a hope in Jesus' perfect love. We have nothing to fear, for he is not ashamed of us, and our certainty in Jesus is well-founded. So it's one thing not to fear, to not be alarmed, but the question remains for us is this. What should we feel? What should we do? We need to have a conversation about how we live in times like these. And I've spent a lot of time reading in the last little while, and I'm reminded of a passage in 1 John. Read with me in 1 John chapter 4. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, his love is perfected with us. And so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Our task now, if you could call it a task, is to spend our time and effort showing love to others. Why? Because Jesus has demonstrated his love for us. And although Jesus tells us not to be alarmed, and we read that in Matthew chapter 24, and we're reminded that our faith in Christ gives us nothing to fear, as we read in 2 Timothy, it's not a switch to be turned off, but rather an attitude towards God that we need to adopt. We need to abide in Christ's love and allow his love to drive out our fear. And if we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God and that in him all of our sins are washed away, we abide in God's love. And while we abide in God's love, we believe that his love will replace our fear. He will give us a sure foundation upon which to stand. And even as we approach the potential of a judgment day, for we do not deny that the end will come at some point, we do not fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in his love, because we love, because he first loved us. So my encouragement to you is this. Spend time giving what fear you do have over to Jesus. Trust him with it. As you pray, confess your fears and anxieties. Lay them at the foot of the cross. Ask Jesus to replace those feelings of fear with trust for him, with love for others and love for Christ. For whatever will happen, we can trust Jesus, and we can allow Jesus' love to replace those anxious feelings that we have, the deep fear that we might be clinging to. We allow Jesus' love to pour into us and then out into others. I've been reading a lot of stories, researching and learning about how we are affected by COVID-19 and how we can learn from past pandemics as well. And I want to share two stories with you. One story from a long time ago, and one from just the other day. First, when the Spanish flu spread across North America, I read a story about a family in the wake of World War I. These Italian immigrants had moved to New Jersey, and they shared their water pump with soldiers who passed by, soldiers returning from Europe where they had been fighting. And as this family shared their water, they contracted the flu, and they fell terribly ill as a whole family one evening. The father was sure that these soldiers had done something to their water. The parents couldn't care for each other. They couldn't care for their children, and they all collapsed as one family into a bed, unable to deal with the problem together. They were sure that they would die. The story was told from one of the youngest children in that family. She barely remembers the flu, but heard again and again from her parents the story of an American man whose name they did not know, who came to their home, cleaned their whole family, took care of them, fed them, took the soiled linen out of their house, removing it. And apparently this man just didn't stop at this family, but rather cared for all of their neighbors as well, feeding them, taking care of them. The Italian family never learned what happened to this man. His home was empty when they went looking for him. But they credit him with saving their lives. Italy is also devastated today. As the pandemic rages through the community in Italy, the healthcare system is inundated. Too many cases to be cared for. And I read a story this week that was shared from one of the doctors in the hospitals there in Italy. And they share this story about how, as a doctor, he and his colleagues are completely overwhelmed. The hospital system unable to handle what's happening in their country. They're running on no sleep, unable to see their own families, and even the doctors themselves are now dying of the disease. It's heartbreaking, and it's very difficult to imagine being in their shoes. The heartbreak, it's heart-wrenching. And yet this doctor shares a story about a 72-year-old man who came to their hospital and with a pastor's heart read scripture to those who were dying and prayed with them, for them, and for the doctors and the staff in the hospital. And even though he contracted COVID-19, and even though he died of the disease, he spent all of his last hours, last days, sharing the peace of the gospel with those who were dying. And this doctor shares this story that although he was a staunch atheist, a man of science, his heart was softened, and he now believes in God again. Because the witness of this man who, even to the point of his own death, shared peace wherever he went, he became a bringer of peace to those who were suffering, to those who were dying, and even to those who were working for those who were sick and dying. My friends, I pray that you will not have to be in any of those people's shoes, that you will not contract the illness, that you will not have to make these impossible decisions, that you wouldn't have to brave the danger of caring for those who are ill. I pray that this is not the case for you. But I do pray this as well, that whatever situation we find ourselves in, that with whomever you come in contact with, whatever you find yourself doing in the days to come, that you would be a peace bringer wherever you go. That you would allow Jesus' love to replace the fear that you have, and then in turn, bring that peace, that freedom from the alarm, from the anxiety, and from the terrible situation we face. That you would take that peace that you have found, and like the American man who cared for his neighbors, that you would in turn care for those who you are surrounded by. That you would be a peace bringer wherever you go and with whomever you meet. Will you pray with me now? Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have in this time to be bearers of peace and love wherever we go. Give us strength today to, in turn, pass on the love that we have experienced from you and the peace that you give us, that we may, wherever we go and whomever we speak with, take that and pour it into the lives of other people around us. In Christ's name, I pray a blessing of safety and health on all those who are listening now. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for listening. I look forward to the next time I get to speak with you again.